Good morning, Faith Alliance Church. It's good to be with you, even though it's remotely this morning, on this last Sunday of April. I want to encourage you to turn to Acts 20. Our focus of attention will be on verses 28 through 38. We're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday. But before doing so, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Your word is very precious to us. For in your word, Lord, you give us direction and instruction. You give us encouragement and help. And we thank you for all of that, Lord. And we praise your name for it. We ask this morning as we open your word that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And that, Lord, we would be challenged and encouraged and blessed because we have spent time with you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, Paul finished the testimony of his ministry with a picture of a watchman. He said in verse 26, "Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Paul, as we saw, was making reference to Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, where God speaks of the serious responsibility of the watchman's task to warn people of impending danger and the repercussions if the watchman failed to do so. Watchmen had to stay awake and alert. Watchmen had to be ready to sound the alarm if danger was approaching. Watchmen had to be faithful, not fearful, because the safety of many people rested with them. In Paul's case, the eternal destiny of many people rested with him. And so as Paul brings his farewell message to a conclusion, in verses 28 to 38, he shares some important insights. And the first, he issues a warning about the future. Beginning in verse 28, he says, "And now beware, be sure that you feed the flock and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his blood, over whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know full well that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some of you will distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and my many tears for you." Like a watchman, Paul warns the elders of their responsibility to care for God's people and of real dangers that they had to recognize and deal with if they were to protect and lead the church in Ephesus. And so Paul begins by stressing the importance of the church. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should never underestimate the importance of the church. We should never underestimate the importance of a local body of believers. Faith Alliance Church, never underestimate the importance of this church. The church is important to God because His name is on it. Paul calls it the church or the flock of God in verse 28. It's important to the Son of God because, as Paul stated, he shed his blood for it. And it's also important to the Holy Spirit because he's calling and equipping people to minister to the church. And so Paul is stressing to these men in his closing words that it is a serious ministry to be an elder or a spiritual leader within the Church of the Living God. The responsibility of an elder was given to them by the Holy Spirit with the expectation that they would care for the church. And caring for the church meant feeding God's people, feeding them God's Word, and shepherding and leading them in their relationships with God. In verse 29, the seriousness of such responsibility is further underscored as Paul shares that there are real dangers all around us. As a watchman, Paul declares, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." Those are kind of intimidating and scary words to a congregation that he is leaving. Who are the savage wolves? They are false teachers. They are counterfeits. They are people who have the appearance of godliness, but who exploit the church for their own personal gain. And this is why it is critical for every believer to sit under the teaching of the Word of God, so that they might know the Word of God and that they might be able to detect those false teachers, those religious hucksters who come in to the church. Paul adds to this warning in verse 30 that these dangers will even come from their own number. He says, even some of you will distort the truth in order to draw a following. Led by the Holy Spirit, Paul and shown remarkable insight into the future of the church in Ephesus. In fact, the letters Paul wrote to Timothy, who served in Ephesus a decade or so after these words were spoken, attest to the presence of false teachers who were ravaging the church for their own personal gain and who had indeed come from within the church. In fact, some were the elders to whom Paul was addressing this farewell. He warns them of people in the church, members, or so appearing to be, who are ambitious for position and power. Church history is replete with accounts of people who have a love for preeminence, who desire the focus to be on them rather than on the living Christ. They want the glory when the glory belongs to Jesus and to Jesus only. Churches across America are in conflict today because members are grabbing for power, for attention, for recognition, for popularity, rather than allowing the Spirit of God to lead them in power. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of meeting Pastor David Wilkerson in New York City at Times Square Church, where he was pastoring at the time. He has since gone to be with the Lord. He was an extremely humble man through whom the Spirit of God radiated His presence. In all my years of ministry, I have never, ever met another follower of Christ like him. He related to me and to the other pastors who were visiting the need to be cautious when it comes to bringing someone into a leadership position. And then he shared a story, a recent story of something that had taken place there at Times Square Church. He shared a story of a wealthy businessman who had been attending his church for several months. And after a Sunday morning service, this individual met him at the door as Pastor Wilkerson was greeting folks as they left the morning service. And he shook Pastor Wilkerson's hand and he slipped him a check. And when David saw the check, he told the giver that before he could accept it, he and the elders of the church would need to pray about it. And that's because the check was rather substantial. The check was for $100,000. I wonder how many of us would do the same today if that happened. Well, David Wilkerson and the elders of Times Square Church prayed. They prayed until God gave them an answer. And God said no to the check. And so David Wilkerson returned the check. And about 3 months later, he discovered through some other means this man's desire to buy himself a place of leadership within the church. Being a spiritual leader within the body of Christ is not based on one's ability in business or their worth or anything like that. But being a spiritual leader within the body of Christ demands a deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. An elder must be a man whose heart and life have been shaped by prayer and by the Word of God. An elder's responsibility is great, and their success is dependent on the Spirit of the living God working through them. It's not dependent on their natural abilities. It's not dependent on their human wisdom. Their responsibility is great, and their success is dependent on the Spirit of God living and working through them. The seriousness of the responsibility was exemplified in Paul's life. "Remember," he said, "the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and my many tears for you." As an elder, Paul threw his whole life into the task of caring for, protecting, and shepherding the believers in Ephesus. He had shown these men, these spiritual leaders, these elders, how they must lead. In verse 32, Paul goes on to say, "And now I entrust to God and the word, I entrust you to God and the word of his grace, his message that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself." Paul's not done speaking, but right here in the middle of his closing words, he offers a benediction. A benediction dedicating their service, the service of the elders, to the power and the leadership of God. And in particular, he emphasized the Word of God was to be central in their lives and ministries. Why? Why was it to be central? Because the Word is able to build up believers. The Word is able to teach them the gospel of salvation by grace, so that the final inheritance is received by those who belong to God, by those who are sanctified, by those who are made holy in their hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. In verses 33 to 35, Paul continues to challenge the elders to follow the example of his ministry with them. He said, "I have never coveted anyone's money or fine clothing. You know that these hands of mine have worked to pay my own way, and I have even supplied the needs of those who were with me. And I've been a constant example of how you can help the poor by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." In these verses, Paul exhorts the elders with a charge to give, with a charge to aid those who are weak. And using his own example, he addresses both the attitude and the conduct concerning material things. The attitude of an elder in regard to material things is to say no to covetousness, no to desires to have what someone else has. As Paul among them did not desire anyone's silver or gold or clothing, which we could say the equivalent today would be money, homes, cars, technology, whatever for us. Covetousness must be replaced with liberality. Knowing the truth of the Lord Jesus' Christ, the Lord Jesus' declaration in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, that one whose disposition is giving, not receiving, is the one who is blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And such an attitude will be seen in the hard work that one does in their life, not for personal gain, but in order to help the weak, to help those who are incapable of working. In the Gospel of Luke, and also here in the book of Acts, the weak are normally the chronically, physically ill who come to Jesus and who come to the apostles for healing. Paul tells us that he worked hard so that he might help the weak. And what he did was he modeled such a lifestyle of giving during his 3 years in Ephesus. In verses 36 to 38 we read, "And when he had finished speaking, he knelt and he prayed with them. They wept aloud as they embraced him in farewell, sad most of all because he had said that they would never see him again. And then they accompanied him down to the ship." Paul closes his message in this memorable occasion by kneeling down and praying with and for his friends and weeping with them before his departure. It's difficult to say goodbye, especially when you know you will not see your friends again in this life. From Paul's experience here in Acts 20, we see a man who was driven by God's purpose for his life. And Paul exemplified this before his friends, before those that he had poured so much of his life into, what it meant to be a godly man, what it meant to be a spiritual leader over those that the Holy Spirit had given him to lead. And now he would be gone. No longer would they be able to get his advice, seek his counsel, or anything else on a matter. It was now dependent on them and their relationship with God. They had Paul's example. Yes, they had his Bible teaching. They could remember maybe some of the sermons that he preached, but it was their responsibility to lead now. This is my last Sunday as pastor of Faith Alliance Church. It has not ended as Ruth and I would have liked it to. Paul and the elders in Ephesus, as he left, were not practicing social distancing as we are. They were shedding tears, giving one last embrace. But the message of these verses in Acts transcends the awkwardness of these days that we are living in and are for Faith Alliance Church today. I hope that this passage will help you to be aware of several important concerns that the Lord has, and I also have, for Faith Alliance Church. Number one, that the elders and spiritual leaders, that Randy and Kurt, Aaron and John, learn from Paul and that they take their responsibilities seriously. Their number one responsibility is their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of this relationship, may they commit themselves to this body of Christ, and may they lovingly give themselves in service to the Savior as they serve Faith Alliance Church. Number two, that Faith Alliance Church pray for the elders, that they pray for these spiritual leaders, praying that they might be men of integrity who work hard in the ministry the Holy Spirit has entrusted them with, and that they work under His leading and His power, for without Him, they can do nothing. And number three, that they would follow Paul's example, and with God's help, and direction, raise up new leadership for the generations to follow here at Faith Alliance Church. This is my last message to you, Faith Alliance Church. I must admit that after more than 10.5 years, it's hard to think that I won't be sharing God's word with you any longer. I only wish that I could have shared this last message with you in person. Please know this truth. Ruth and I love you dearly and will continue praying for you as a church moving forward into the future. I encourage you to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I encourage you to be a people of the Word. I encourage you to read His Word, to study His Word, to memorize His Word, and to live out His Word every day in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to be a people of prayer, who trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Paul's closing words in his letter to the church in Ephesus were, "Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ." God bless you, Faith Alliance Church.